Did you know God invented sex? Sue Boland shows us that the challenge is celebrating it his way. Now on Probe.
This week we'll be looking at what God says about sex. So if you have little ones around, you might want to listen to the broadcast on probe.org or just read the transcript. The world holds the Christian view of sex in contempt, considering it prudish, naive, and repressive. But the Bible elevates sexuality as God's gift to us that is both sacred and mysterious. The world's perspective degrades it to just something that feels good, another form of recreation or socialization. Counselor Waylon Ward offers an insightful way to understand the problem, which he calls the pickle principle. In order to make pickles, we put cucumbers in a brine solution of vinegar, spices, and water. After a cucumber soaks in the brine long enough, it's changed into a pickle. Well, most of us are like pickles. We sit in the brine of a sex-saturated culture, absorbing its values and beliefs, and it changes the way we think. Even most Christians are pickled today, believing and acting exactly like everyone else who's been sitting in the brine of a culture hostile to God and His Word. The world's sex-saturated brine includes the belief that sex is the ultimate pleasure. The message of much TV, movies, and music is that there is no greater pleasure available and that it is the right of every individual, even teenagers, to have this pleasure. Another aspect of this pickling process is the belief that no one has the right to deprive anyone else of this greatest of all human pleasures, that no one has the right to tell anyone else what is right or wrong about the expression of his or her sexuality. The Christian perspective is that the purpose of sex is relational, with pleasure as the byproduct. The Bible teaches that sex welds two souls together. It is so powerful that it is only safe within a committed covenant marriage relationship. It's like the difference between the wild energy of lightning compared to the harnessed power of electricity. God knew what He was doing when He limited sex to within marriage. God wants to get His pickled people out of the world's brine and into an intimate relationship with Him. He wants to change our thinking and beliefs to be in alignment with His. That's what we'll be talking about all this week.
This has been Probe with your host, Sue Boland. In this sex-saturated society, it's tough to remain pure before and during marriage. Go online at probe.org to get your free copy of Sue's transcript, What God Says About Sex. Again, that's probe.org. Join us next time as we reclaim and proclaim the truth here on Probe.
Today we're talking about God's purpose in inventing sex. So if you have little ones around, you might want to listen to the broadcast on probe.org or just read the transcript. In a lifelong covenant of faithfulness between husband and wife, we can express and enjoy God's two major purposes to sex, fruitfulness and intimacy. His first command to Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply. One very foundational purpose of sex is to create new living beings. But fruitfulness is not limited to having children, though. A mutually loving and serving sexual relationship between husband and wife can produce emotional and personal fruitfulness as well. Both people are nurtured to grow, develop, and soar, becoming more of what God means them to be. The other big purpose for sex, which is emotional and physical intimacy, is only possible within marriage. In his little gem of a book called What God Says About Sex, Eric Elder says that intimacy really means into me see. It is only safe to reveal the fullness of who we are, warts and all, to someone who loves us and has committed to be faithful and supportive till death do us part. The fullest experience and freedom of sex is found within the marriage bed, which God says to keep holy or set apart. Sex also builds oneness, a mystical union of two lives and souls into one life together. The one flesh union of sex is a picture of the way two souls are joined together into a shared life. In fact, we could say that sex is like the solder that a welder uses to fuse two pieces of metal together. Once they're joined, it is a strong bond that helps keep marriages and families intact, which is God's intention for our lives. God also says that an important purpose of sex is to serve as an earthbound illustration of the mystical but very real unity of Christ and the church, where two very different, very other beings are joined together as one. This spiritual component to sex is what helps us see more clearly why any and all sex outside of marriage falls far short of God's intention for it to be holy and sacred and protected. This week we're talking about what God says about sex. So if you have little ones around, you might want to listen to the broadcast on probe.org or just read the transcript. A lot of people believe the Bible says, sex is fun and it feels good, so don't do it. Well, nothing could be farther from the truth. Sex was God's great idea in the first place. But God's view of sex is a sacred and private gift to married couples, as well as a gift each spouse gives to the other, is at great odds with the world's perspective of sex as simply a pleasure that no one should deny him or herself. The overarching statement God makes is that sex is to be completely contained within marriage. As I said earlier this week, sex is so powerful that it's like the difference between the wild, uncontrollable power of lightning compared to the safety of harnessed electricity in our buildings. God wants us to harness the power of sex within marriage. This means that all other expressions of sexuality are off limits, not because God is a cosmic killjoy, but because he loves us and knows what's best for us, not playing with lightning. So God says not to engage in sex with anyone before marriage, with anyone else once we are married, with anyone of the same sex, or with prostitutes, or with family members, or with animals. God says that sexual purity is a treasure to be guarded and valued. It is a reflection of God's own character, which is what makes it so valuable. In our culture, many people have been deceived into thinking that their virginity is worthless, something to get rid of. But God says it is special, a gift that we can only bestow on one person, one time. God calls us to purity after marriage as well by remaining faithful to our spouse. We glorify God in our sexuality by using self-control to stay pure if we're single, and by loving our spouse sexually if we're married. The good news is that purity can be restored if we confess our sin and put our trust in Jesus to forgive us and give us a new, holy quality of life. The Bible promises if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God stands ready to forgive and cleanse us and restore our purity the moment we ask. We've been talking about what God says about sex. So if you have little ones around, you might want to listen to the broadcast on probe.org or just read the transcript. God says that sex is to be reserved for adults only. Three times in the Song of Solomon, a beautiful book extolling the glory of married sex, it says, "Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires," which means until the time is right. As I minister to sexually broken people, most of them bear the still painful scars of childhood sexual abuse from people who never should have opened a door to sexual experience. Their entire view of sex has been warped and skewed. God never meant for children to be introduced to sex. It's for adults, married adults. God wants us to actively fight sexual temptation. The battle is harder than it's ever been because of our sex-saturated culture. He says to flee immorality. In fact, God says to offer not even a hint of sexual immorality. That means that it is a violation of his intentions to engage in phone sex with strangers or virtual sex in chat rooms and porn sites. The fact that you're not physically touching another person's body doesn't mean it's not sin, because Jesus said that sexual sin happens in the mind first. Eric Elder suggests asking a powerful question to help clarify the battle against sexual temptation. Will this lead to greater intimacy and fruitfulness with the husband or wife God has created for me? This filter is helpful for both married people and singles. If an action doesn't build intimacy or fruitfulness, it probably destroys them. Another question to ask is, can I glorify God in what my flesh wants to do here? Can I invite Jesus into what I'm about to do? If the answer is no, God challenges us to meet the struggle with His supernatural energy instead of our own puny human strength. God created sex for our pleasure and delight. In the Song of Solomon, God enthusiastically invites the newlyweds to enjoy His good gift of sex. In fact, God wants married couples to bless each other by enjoying sex often and regularly. Are you surprised by what God says about sex? This week we've been looking at what God says about sex. So if you have little ones around, you might want to listen to the broadcast on probe.org or just read the transcript. Today we're examining why sexual sin hurts so much. Pastors and counselors will tell you that there's a greater intensity of shame and pain in the people they counsel when the issues involve sexual sin. Paul says that all other sins are outside our bodies, but sexual sin touches you deep in your heart and soul. It may be helpful to think of sex like welding solder. God created it to be a strong, powerful, lasting bond that creates healthy, stable families into which we welcome children. But when people fuse their souls through sexual sin without the safety and commitment of marriage, it causes tremendous pain when the relationship rips apart. Have you ever seen a broken weld? It's pretty ugly. When sex is disconnected from love and commitment, it also disconnects the body from the soul. This inflicts deep wounds of shame and guilt on a heart that has been used for gratification instead of love. Waylon Ward writes, "In the counseling office, individuals rarely, if ever, weep scalding tears about any other sense of loss like they do for a sexual relationship when it ends. There are soul ties that bind two partners together in unseen ways, and there is a sense that part of you has been stolen. There's a hole in your soul where the connection was ripped from you." The pickling brine of our culture's increased sensuality says, "If it feels good, do it. You're entitled." But while this belief about sex may feel good, it is most definitely not good for us. Note the runaway epidemic of sexually transmitted diseases and the resulting increase in infertility. Note the number of broken hearts and broken families. Note the alarming amount of sexual abuse. Note the soaring rates of depression, especially in teens, much of which is related to sexual activity outside of marriage. God invented sex for His glory and our benefit. His basic rule, keep sex inside marriage, isn't meant to be a killjoy, but to protect our hearts and bodies and relationships and families. He knows what He's doing, and we do well to follow.